Welcome to In the Hive. I'm Roger McDonough. Well, it's that time of year again. The 2020 Utah legislative session kicks off next week, and then over the course of 45 days, lawmakers will consider hundreds of pieces of legislation and generally do the business of the legislature. There's a budget to pass and competing funding priorities to consider, but there are also bills that might affect the way that you lead your life and that touch on everything from affordable housing to the air you breathe to your current inability to join a Wine of the Month club in Utah. And yes, one Utah lawmaker wants to change that. Today on the program, we're going to talk to three people who closely follow the legislative session and who work for nonprofit organizations that try to influence what happens at the legislature. That means that we are getting a preview of the session from the perspective of lobbyists, indeed. But as you'll hear from our introduction, they are lobbyists who, as representatives of their nonprofit, their respective nonprofits, say they are pushing to make a difference for the public good. And let's welcome them into the studio right now. Marina Lowe is Legislative and Policy Counsel with ACLU of Utah. Marina, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Katie Matheson is the Communications Director with Alliance for a Better Utah. And Katie, thanks to you as well for being here.
Of course, thank you.
And Dita Seed is Senior Utah Field Campaigner with the Center for Biological Diversity. Thanks and welcome to you, Dita.
Thanks, Roger.
All right, so some parts of the legislative session are predictable. Others kind of come out of left field. Maybe to begin with, I'll ask each of you what you know is in store that you'll be following closely, be that a budget fight or a specific topic of concern, and is there one issue that rises to the top for you? Marina Lowe with ACLU of Utah, let's start with you. Is there a specific, for example, civil liberties-related topic that you already know is something that you will be watching really closely at this session?
Well, I wish there was just one single civil liberties threat that we were facing down this legislative session, but that is never the case. And so this is a really tricky question for my organization, probably for those of you around the table today as well. We're following a lot of stuff, and so it's really hard to narrow it down. I will say that criminal justice issues tend to be sort of the ACLU's bread and butter these days in a lot of ways. I think that's a direct reflection of the fact that we incarcerate at a ridiculous degree in this country generally, and so increasingly criminal justice issues are becoming more and more people's problems. And so this is definitely taking up a lot of our bandwidth, everything from, you know, a bill to reform our bail system, questions around transparency and improving conditions in our jails, questions around the intersection of privacy and technology, and specifically I'm talking about the use of law enforcement facial recognition technology, as well as the ability for law enforcement to access DNA databases. These are just a handful of some of the issues that we will be keeping a close eye on in the 2020 session.
And hopefully we can dig in on a couple of those during this half hour that we have. And I'm going to now just turn the same question over to Dita Seed. You work with several organizations involved in both environmental policy and also with poverty. Not that we have to say that whatever you identify right now is more important than anything else that you'll be following, but is there something that rises to the level of high priority for you as you look at the session?
Well, one thing that we're looking at very closely is legislation that's associated with the proposed Utah Inland Port. And we haven't seen anything yet, but we have heard that there are things in the works. And, of course, our concern is that frequently with this issue, we don't see anything until the last minute, and it's kind of too late for us to rally people to respond to it. But we've heard that potentially Representative Gibson will be introducing something that includes an attempt to address some of our concerns. And the devil's in the details with that, of course. So we're just going to wait and see what they come up with and whether these are things we can support or whether we think that these are things that are sort of window dressing, lipstick on a pig, so to speak, to try to make the Utah Inland Port palatable to people. And, of course, for your listeners, the Utah Inland Port comes with tremendous challenges for our community in terms of impacts to our air, water, wildlife habitat, tax base, on and on. There are some other bills that are named, but you know, they haven't been numbered yet, so we haven't seen anything related to the Inland Port. I also know that there will be lots of legislation around water and water rights and further attempts, I think, to ensure that Great Salt Lake doesn't dry out with the Bear River diversion that's being proposed. And we'll also see legislation around air quality initiatives. And of course, the governor's once again in his budget has proposed a large chunk of money dedicated to improving our air quality. He did that last year, and it didn't result in very much. So we're not holding our breath on that, but we'll be watching all of that closely.
Pun intended, I'm sure. And whether or not the governor's budget has anything to do with what happens in the budget itself is another question. I want to turn to Katie Matheson with Alliance for Better Utah. Alliance for Better Utah has called itself a progressive good governance group. There's a lot that can fall into the framework of good governance, a top issue for your organization.
Yeah, so this session, we are going to be watching for anything that kind of adjusts what the people of Utah have expressly stated that they wanted. So, for example, any adjustment to any of the propositions that passed in 2018, or, of course, the recent, what looks like, referendum on the tax bill. Any attempt by the legislature to undo any of those things, we will be keeping a very close eye on.
The tax bill, well, we can get into that. There's the legislature often kicks off with a budget debate. Governor Herbert, as we said, laid out a budget that asks for sizable investments in education, transportation, transit, air quality, as D2C pointed out. But again, of course, that's just his wish list, and lawmakers can entirely disregard what he asks for. On education funding, though, the tax reform that you just brought up, Katie, that passed during the special session did a bit of a number on education funding, didn't it?
I mean, honestly, at this point, I am not sure what the status is of that bill. So right now we know that Representative Ward has a bill that would undo or would put onto the ballot in 2020 the funding requirement for income taxes to go to education on the Constitution. And because that is a constitutional amendment, the people of Utah have to vote on it themselves. So the legislature has to pass it, and then it goes to the people. But now, you know, that was to fix funding issues with the tax bill that they passed. But now it looks like there may actually be a referendum on that. So I am unclear at this moment, and we don't even know if the referendum qualified for the ballot yet. We're still waiting for the numbers on that.
I know we're in this limbo period where we can't. It's hard to talk about because you don't know if lawmakers are going to take any action as a result of the fact that it did pass. If it did, I mean,
right,
that it did get the signatures required to get on the ballot.
Right, because our understanding is, I mean, I don't want to give anyone ideas, but technically my understanding is that the legislature could just go and repeal that law, and then there would be nothing to vote on there would be no referendum to vote on this year. And so the status of, I think, probably the budget, the status of the tax reform bill, the status of education funding is all in the air. I can say that what we want to see is what we always want to see, which is, you know, dramatic increases in funding for clean air, you know, funding for education, funding for public transportation. And it's not just us, it's Utahns. This is far and away what Utahns want their money spent on, is these issues. So we will be keeping a very close eye on those conversations as they go on.
Dita and Marina, as we look at budget priorities, but without necessarily being able to dig into the budget right now because of what's up in the air, anything that you're following budget, I'm sure that project-specific appropriations is something that, Dita, you are paying attention to, things like the pipeline that you mentioned, the Bear River diversion. What else?
Well, we're looking at any kind of machination around subsidies for things. I think we're going to see probably further attempts to subsidize fossil fuel exports. The city of Richmond in California just recently banned coal exports from their city, and that is a place that Wolverine Resources, which is a local Utah coal company, uses for their coal export. And in the past, our legislature has done two things. They've subsidized, they've got a pot of money, $53 million, sitting there ready to subsidize an Oakland coal port. But they've also put money toward litigation to fight the California restrictions on coal ports. And I think we could see stuff crop up around that in terms of appropriations for litigation, which is, from my perspective, a tragic mistake. So those, yeah.
And then we will leave the budget behind here in a second and dig into some of the specific bills that you might be following, well, not numbered bills per se, but topics. And Marina, anything that you and ACLU of Utah will be looking at as lawmakers try to shore up or settle on a budget?
No, not really. I mean, the one advantage to the type of work that I do is that the budget is not usually a big part of our legislative agenda. So we have a ridiculous number of bills that we follow, but are not very involved in the appropriations process.
Okay. I want to go back, Dita, to you now and digging in on the Utah Inland Port, something that was created in a previous legislative session. Wednesday, you released a report outlining the environmental consequences of the project. Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall is appealing a decision that threw out a court challenge to the port's creation. I guess, is there some specific thing that you expect the legislature to be doing? I mean, can they do something while this is pending in the courts, I guess is the question.
Well, I think they're planning on doing things, although, as I said earlier, we don't have the specifics.
Sure.
Where we are right now in this struggle to prevent the harms from the port is that they're agreeing with us, basically. They're saying all of your concerns are right, and we're going to address them. And so what we're expecting is this legislation that's going to have some aspects of sustainability measures included in it, although that all is really vague. We don't know what that's going to look like. And it really will be an attempt to appease public concern. I think that's what we're going to see this session. We're also possibly going to see legislation that confers even more power to the Port Authority in the form of creating a special service district. The director of the Port Authority has talked about wanting to have police powers. Now, he frames that as having police powers to enforce environmental regulations. But we don't have a lot of environmental regulations in Utah, so we're not really sure what that means, but we'll be looking for that as well.
Would there be, sorry, just on the topic of legislation that you say is sort of window dressing or is ameliorating the public concern, would there be legislation of some sort that was strong enough that you could get behind it that would allow the port to go forward in a quote-unquote environmentally friendly way?
Doubtful. Okay. I mean, and again, we haven't seen anything. So, I mean, the fact is there aren't any green ports anywhere in the world. And the director of the Port Authority, Jack Hedge, says that publicly. He also says that he intends this one to be the one. But in order for that to happen, we'd have to have a net zero port, essentially. And several of the Port Authority board members have said in previous interviews that that's not on the table. So we're in this real limbo where, you know, rhetorically, the director of the Port Board is talking about a sustainable port and about legislation to make that happen. But again, without any other information, it's really hard to say what that would be.
I'm realizing that a half an hour is really difficult to do the preview that we're trying to do because there's a lot of detail to dig into. I'm sensing a little bit of a theme, though, when it comes to the budget, the port, other items, that there is this limbo as we wait to see what actually happens when the session kicks off. Katie Matheson from Alliance for a Better Utah, on the topic of the environment, in addition to the port, or if you want to talk about the port, you can do that as well, but what environmental topics are you all following?
I mean, for us, it's always, you know, we support the work that everyone is doing on the inland port. We don't have an official position on it, but we are very interested in making sure that whatever happens does not exacerbate climate change and does not hurt our air quality. You know, we know it's really bad. And as an organization that takes on a lot of issues, we are in the sometimes unique position of being able to look at how these issues intersect. And so, you know, we know that we have an issue. We need more public transportation. We need public transportation that is easier to access. And, you know, as all these things impact things like air quality, we know from multiple studies that have been done now that air quality impacts stuff not just like our lungs, but it also impacts miscarriage rates in Utah. When air quality gets bad, miscarriage rates go up. So bad air quality and the way that these things impact our state impact also families. And so, you know, thinking about these things in a holistic way, I think is very important, especially as this session, we are going to be facing a number of good bills that have to do with families and how families are able to care for one another and able to thrive, and also some bills that would not be good for families, such as Senator Dan McKay's abortion ban that we know is coming. We don't have the language of it yet, but he's as much as said it in public.
Is there a sort of framework for the abortion ban? Is it, you know, at a certain level of gestation or what? You know, we don't know.
We don't know. Okay. He announced it a number of months ago at a big press conference. My understanding is that it was a little bit of a surprise when he announced it. I'm not sure what the background is on that. I know that recently during legislative previews, he has been saying things about heartbeat bills. So that could be something as early as 6 weeks, but we don't know. It's like it's not even on the legislature's website yet. So we have no context for that. But we do know, you know, it's an election year and we know that people show up to vote on the issue of abortion. So that's something that we're also looking at.
I want to interrupt with just a very general question, which is how soon can you know what you're fighting and what you're supporting at the legislature? Because, or maybe another thing to ask would be, have any of you authored legislation that you definitely know you'll be advocating for? But then on the flip side, you know, at what point can you know what it is that you're fighting? And Katie, you might as well.
I mean, there's a deadline during the session when any bill that's going to come forward has to be out, has to be public. But that, I mean, you know, the Inland Port was created on the last day of the session, and I think nobody knew about it until the last day of the session.
Well, and the bill, do you remember there was a bill a couple of years ago dealing with...
Marina Lowe is who's speaking. Go ahead.
I want to say it had to do with the whole Mark Shurtleff situation, and it was a bill that Alliance for a Better Utah actually was working on that was introduced, heard, and passed on the last day of the session. Mm. So there are always exceptions to the rules. But mm-hmm. Yes, Katie's absolutely right. There is a point during the session when all bills have to be made public, but it's well into the session.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't really know.
Yeah. Okay. And Dita's shaking her head here as well.
Well, this is one of the problems is that, 45 days is a very short period of time, although when you're there, it feels like it's
like
eternity.
You've always been there.
Yes. And they have the capacity to throw things at us with very little notice. And it's not a process that's conducive to thoughtful public policy making, in my view. And that, you know, has certainly been the case with all the things associated with the proposed port. Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of authoring legislation, I mean, are any of you actually writing bills to try and get passed?
Yes.
Okay, Marina Lowe, just a quick introduction of, I'm sure it's more than one. What are you working on?
Yeah, a lot of bills. A lot of the bills that I mentioned before, we have a hand in drafting.
How about, since we've talked about this on this very show before, what about... law enforcement and facial recognition.
Yeah, so I think actually that's a perfect bill that's been very public, in fact, with where the ACLU wants to see some changes made, and is also a good counterpoint to this 45-day quick, you know, we're going to quickly debate it. The facial recognition bill is actually a perfect example of when legislation can be done in a more thoughtful way by having a bill introduced and debated during interim session, mm-hmm. which this bill was. The issue was first raised in September. There was a subsequent hearing in November. And so lawmakers, when they hear this bill during the regular session, it will not be a new topic for them, nor will it be new for the public. It's something that's sort of been vetted to a certain degree. The way that we are coming at this issue, the ACLU is deeply concerned about this intersection of privacy and technology and the use of this type of technology by law enforcement for a number of reasons. One, that we know that it invades our privacy in ways that can be very harmful. But with facial recognition in particular, there are also real infirmities with this technology. And we know at this point now from a variety of different studies that our own bias is sort of baked into the software. The facial recognition in particular, there was a national study conducted by the federal government, actually, which concluded that it's not very accurate when it comes to young people, old people, people of color, women. So basically, it really works for middle-aged white men, the people who developed this technology. Exactly. So our bias goes into whatever technology that we're producing.
So, and the bill, what would the bill do?
Ideally, we would like to see law enforcement get a warrant before they use this type of technology. We would like to see it restricted to the Department of Public Safety, which is currently the only entity that's using it today. We would like to see a ban on the use of sort of what's called live streaming. We don't want to see this put onto body cams and used sort of actively on the street.
There's
a whole host of different things that we would like to see put in place to sort of really set the parameters around how this fledgling and frankly not very accurate technology is being rolled out.
Okay. And there's another private company, Clearview, that I want to talk to you about at some point on a different show. Marina Lowe, we will get into that. Katie and Dita, are you ever in the position of authoring legislation? Dita, I'll start with you.
Well, we're not really authoring this, but Senator Escamilla is going to be introducing something around the Utah Inland Port that requires a health impact assessment. And we had originally asked for this. We're a little concerned now that that would get watered down to being virtually meaningless by the legislature. So we'll have to wait and see what she ultimately comes out with. But that's something that we have been involved with pushing.
Yeah,
and if it's got teeth, if it's the right thing that really gets good answers for us.
What would a health impact assessment of the Utah Inland Port that does have teeth look like as opposed to one that doesn't?
Well,
have teeth?
So a health impact assessment is, as the name suggests, something that looks at all of the health consequences of a potential project. And so in this instance, it would be looking at the potential harms, the myriad harms from the proposed port. And we would want that to be conducted by experts who are independent of the legislature and independent of the state. The state relies a lot on the Department of Environmental Quality for these kinds of things. And while there are some great scientists there, we feel that they're kind of under the thumb of the legislature, especially on controversial projects like this. So we would like, you know, an independent examination of the harms. And we're just not sure that we're going to be able to get that from the legislature. But Senator Escamilla, especially when she was running for mayor, she was very supportive of this concept. And she does have a placeholder. We haven't seen the text yet.
And of course, you know, residents can get in touch with various lawmakers who are running these pieces of legislation. I'm going to ask you all at some point before we wrap up the show, unfortunately, rather soon, how they can connect with your organizations and how you would recommend they get involved. But first, I want to just to circle back to something, Marina. I talked to Katie and Dita both about, you know, environmental degradation and what that could mean for human health. And I didn't want to leave you and ACLU of Utah out of this. Is there any obvious, you know, intersection between the work that you do and environmental policy?
You know, not specifically legislatively. You know, I was thinking, of course, when Dita was talking about a lot of the work around the Inland Port, of course, there have been a lot of protests, and the ACLU works very hard to make sure that people have the right to engage in the First Amendment protected activity of protesting. And so we send out legal monitors and oftentimes have people present for those sorts of protests. When it comes to the legislature, though, we've kind of got our hands full with other things and know that groups like Dita's group and like Alliance for a Better Utah are doing good work and of course, want to support our partners. But let them sort of work on the areas where they have expertise.
Got it. We haven't talked about healthcare, medical marijuana. We have like four minutes left and a variety of other topics. Katie Matheson, any other big topics you want to bring up before we turn to that, how people can get involved with their lawmakers aspect of the show?
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of issues that are really important to Utahns, we're very excited by Rep. King's background checks bill. That's going to be really interesting. Some polling at utahpolicy.com showed that 88% of Utahns support background checks.
This is for firearms?
Yeah, for firearms. So we're excited about that. And we are also really excited about, we don't have the specifics of it yet, but we're excited to see what Senator Reby has in her sex education bill, and also Representative Waite has in her paid family leave bill. So these are things, when we're talking about families, we're talking about Utahns, we're talking about safe communities and strong communities, this is the legislation that we want to see passed. And so it kind of touches on these things. Like, there was this amazing Salt Lake Tribune poll the other day that showed that LDS women, the number one issue that they see facing women in Utah is sexual violence and domestic violence. And so things like, you know, sex ed, where you teach what a good relationship and a healthy relationship looks like, especially as we see our STI rates increasing in Utah, this is something that's, you know, perfect for Utah.
And that's sexually transmitted infections. Just, you never know what people don't know. And okay, so highlighting some pieces of legislation that you probably will be advocating for there. Any other big topics from you, Marina Lowe, before we head to that last segment?
Well, just to follow up on some of the pieces that Katie highlighted, there's some other really great sort of workplace fairness bills that the ACLU will be tracking as well and have actively been working on. One is to expand the federal Family Medical Leave Act here in Utah to make it more accessible for Utah employees. And then we're also working on an additional bill with Representative Arendt to make our sick leave that is available to employees more flexible so that employees have the ability to use it to care for sick family members.
To become caretakers, basically.
That's
for
right.
a period of time. Representative Arendt, who is retiring after this legislative session.
That's right.
Dita Seed, other giant issues that I know you've got probably a handful that we haven't talked about. And what are they?
No. Well, we're going to be watching very closely to see what happens, if anything, with regard to this report that the Gardner Institute just released on climate and air quality, which contains recommendations for how to improve our air quality and simultaneously reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And there's a whole laundry list of things that they talk about. And so
it's aggressive. It's a pretty aggressive
plan,
right?
And so it's going to be interesting to see how it's received by the legislature and if any of those policy proposals make it into legislation. We'll be watching that. You know, of course, what we say is how can you be looking at all of those things and not taking into account the impact of the proposed inland port.
How about on the affordable housing front? Anybody want to jump in on that side of things before I then ask the question about how people can get involved? Katie Matheson?
We haven't been very involved in that, and we haven't been watching it terribly closely, but it is something that we are very supportive of. And we, of course, I mean, I personally just moved. I've just bought a house, and we had to leave the Salt Lake Valley and move on up to Weber. And I mean, we love it up there, but it is a sincere issue that we're facing here in Utah.
Okay. All right. Let's turn to a final segment. Can each of you give advice on how a listener who's out there right now can get involved in legislative session? I know that it can be daunting when you're looking at 1,000-plus pieces of legislation and so many lawmakers to try and reach out to. What's a tactic for a person to get connected and involved? Dita Seed, I'll start with you.
Well, we have lots of things for people to do. So we just released a report outlining the harms from the proposed inland port, and we're planning to use that as a lobbying tool with legislators. So we have a community volunteer lobbying team that's going to be up at during the session at the legislature every Thursday, and people can join us for that. We're hoping to personally interact with each and every legislator and hand them a copy of our report and have a little conversation about what the challenges around the inland port are. We're also hosting a rally Monday, February 3rd at 4 p.m. at the legislature. Of course, we're urging the public to join us. And it's a Repeal the Port rally.
Okay. That's Dita Seed from the Center for Biological Diversity. Marina Lowe, Legislative and Policy Council with ACLU of Utah. How about for people getting involved with your organization or just generally connecting with lawmakers?
Yeah. So, I mean, don't be deterred by the lack of parking and the poor weather that generally prevails during the legislative session. I think one of the most amazing tools that we have here in Utah is the legislative webpage. There's just a wealth of information, everything from, you know, the cell phone numbers of all of the representatives and senators to the ability to live stream hearings and floor debates. So you can really be engaged with the legislature from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to do that. It's a great way to stay up to date, even if you can't make it up there. In terms of the ACLU's issues, we keep an up-to-date list on our website of all of the legislative issues that we are personally tracking. We also update regularly on all of the typical social media platforms. And I would just say to people, find an organization that emphasizes and focuses on the issues you care about, and that's a great way to sort of figure out what's happening on those specific issues during the legislature and to find out when your voice needs to be heard.
Okay. And Katie Matheson, in terms of advice to people to getting involved, Marina mentioned the legislative website, le.utah.gov. For those of you who are interested in checking it out, it is really a worthwhile tool, but from your perspective?
Yeah. So I will say over, when you're looking at the House floor, over the chair where the speaker sits are the words in Latin, Vox Populi. And what it means in Latin is voice of the people. And we just need the people up there. You know, even if you're just up there to witness it, even if you're there to take in the amazing, we underestimate how stunning it is that we sit there and pass these bills every year. It's just, it's a very almost sacred moment to watch this work being done. And we need the people up there. We need more people watching. You can also, of course, follow us at Better Utah on our social media. Find us at betterutah.com. But if you are scared to go up there, it's a scary building. There's not a lot of parking, but you want to be up there, send us a message on Facebook. I would be happy to meet you. I just hang out in the cafeteria a lot of the time. So come say hi and we'll show you around.
Katie Matheson is Communications Director with Alliance for a Better Utah. Marina Lowe is Legislative and Policy Counsel with ACLU of Utah. Dita Seed is Senior Utah Field Campaigner with the Center for Biological Diversity. Thank you all for joining me for this legislative preview.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That does it for In the Hive from KCPW, a listener-supported, independent public radio resource. Find podcasts of this program at kcpw.org. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks again for listening, and do join us again next week.